Welcome, welcome, one and all, welcome to the Scunny Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, back with you again for another week, and I am here, as per usual, with Aaron Flottam. I don't know that I want to ask how we're doing, Aaron.
Hi, John! What's happening?
Oh, same old.
You know, you opened up with cars and trucks. We love cars and trucks, we really do, but I feel like you should have, just put that to the side for the week and played an Irish dirge or something to that. something with bagpipes that's salty and sad.
Maybe we'll find something before we go final on this and add that in. But
Nick Saban's gonna be our next coach. What?
No.
That Flottam, shut up.
Yeah, he's not a NFL guy. He's just not. No. You can't scream and yell at NFL players like he does with the college. And they don't leave every 4 years either. What we are going to start with, though, is, of course, you can follow us at Twitter. You can follow the show at ScannyJohnny1. You can find me at JBarn54. And Aaron?
You can find me at Cheddar Talk, Cheddar, C-H-E-D-D-A-R, and then Talk, T-A-L-K, Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk, John.
It's just not enough time in our podcast to deal with all of your entire rant about just saying the words cheddar and talk.
I just filled 1% of an hour with that. Think about it that way. That's production value.
That is. That was fabulous of you. If only we had something else to talk about this week. What we're going to start out, though, is obviously happier things. Happier things. Of course, the UW women's hockey team continued its winning ways. This is fantastic. You're going to love these. I don't know if you saw any of this, but weekend series against the Syracuse Orange, they won 6-1 and then 9-1 on the road at Tennedy Ice Skating Pavilion. That's just a pleasant name.
Is that a dome stadium just like the football team has or not?
I don't remember.
I'm just assuming it is.
It just sounds fun. An ice skating pavilion sounds like it's maybe just like a covered outdoor area.
Oh, that would be awesome. That'd be super cool. And you can pull that off in upstate New York, too. It doesn't really get that cold.
Yeah, it's nice. So UW now improves to 17-1-0.
Nice.
They have lost a little bit of ground between them and the number two. Minnesota now ranked number two. They are 15-2-1 and getting two of the 15 first-place votes. Clarkson dropped to number five. They were number three last week. They dropped to number five because they lost two games this weekend. They lost to Colgate 1-4. And then they lost to number seven Cornell, previously number seven Cornell, 1-3. This is the
why
top.
Is it that whenever anybody loses to Colgate, I just assume that it's a cavity.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, hey, who was that one loss that UW women's team had? Not to put you on the spot, but I can't even remember. Was it Minnesota that beat them?
I don't remember.
I'll go look while you're talking.
I'd have to go back and look at that. Putting up a lot of great points here. Annie Pankowski didn't seem to figure too much in a lot of the goal scoring here, but she's now ninth in goals. She has 11 goals in 16 games. She's 14th overall in scoring. And for those of you who do not follow hockey, scoring is different from goals because a goal is putting the puck in the net. A score, being a scorer, means getting an assist or a goal. So she's 14th or 9th in goals and 14th in scoring, meaning goals plus assists. But she's second on the team. Abby Roque is number 10 in the country in scoring. And by the way, Clarkson is still killing it in goal scoring. I believe three of the top five in scoring and at least I believe the top goal scorer in women's hockey. Meanwhile, getting beat twice this weekend and dropping from third to fifth with all that goal scoring. So that's an interesting thing. In terms of that, Minnesota continues to win and moving up and catching up to Wisconsin a little bit. But Badgers continue to win. Badgers stay number one. And
yes, scoring in hockey is interesting. It'd be like for those of us that ever went out with our friends, the wingman concept, you'd get a point for being the wingman.
And hockey, unlike basketball, hockey, you can have two assists on a play. So it can be a goal from one person and then from another person. So it could be like Johnson to Malone to Zimmer, you know, things like that.
Right. And in hockey, there's weird things like the goalie can get an assist if he puts out a long clearing pass out to a wing that gets it into the center on a quick score. And all of a sudden, I mean, goalies average like one or two assists a year pretty much in college hockey anyways, just off things like that. They catch the opposing team in a line change, and they quick send it down the other way, and you get a quick goal like that. It's back in the heydays of UW Spear, we had a goalie named Tom Pink. He would actually catch the defense as snoozing, and you can do this in D3. He'd catch the defense as snoozing. He'd start skating the puck out to mid ice and like start a play as the goalie. It was the craziest thing you'd ever seen. And Tom Pink was amazing. And I know him later on in life after hockey. And basically his take was, it was D3 hockey, and why not? You know, so, and I did went and look it up. Yeah, Minnesota was the only team that they lost to. It was back in October 27th. They had a weekend between, they split a weekend between Minnesota. They lost 1-0 at LeBron, and then the next night on their Saturday-Sunday games. And then Sunday night they won 4-1. So that's right, Minnesota is the only team that they lost to. And that's nothing to be ashamed of, because Minnesota's a good team too. But yes, Wisconsin, unbelievable.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember about assists is that in hockey, the assist goes for quite a while. If I pass you the puck and you skate with it for 5 minutes and then score, as long as you never gave up the puck, that is still an assist on your goal.
Right. It's kind of like the equivalent in basketball would be the guy who inbounds the ball to the point guard, and then the point guard throws up an alley-oop. The guy who threw the ball in from the baseline, he gets an assist. It's crazy.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
And it makes more sense because, yeah, the NBA rules on assists are strange. Yeah. But that's because I grew up with hockey. So.
And actually, they actually make more sense, but because you grew up with hockey, that's why they don't make sense.
You still help the assist, that guy
the assist
get a
assist goes. The assist goes to the guy who directly influenced the score, not the guy who inbounded the ball for the baseline.
You still assisted him in getting a goal by letting him touch the puck. Either way, though, this was
John Stockton would have a million assists then in the NBA if they went by hockey rules.
Yeah, triple doubles would get a whole lot easier.
You'd have a triple just in assists.
Yeah, that's true. The other news for Wisconsin hockey, though, is that Wisconsin went up this week a home series against the number 6 ranked Penn State Nittany Lions, who, by the way, just like Michigan, their hockey helmet looks like their football helmet. White helmet, single blue line down the middle. The Badgers are kind of an inverted helmet. They wear a red helmet with the Motion W on the side, much smaller, but on the side, but a red helmet.
Well, and help me out too, John. Wisconsin's helmet used to be a red helmet with a white W, like way back when, correct?
No. Was that in football?
Yeah.
No. I don't think so. We've had the one alternate helmet, but their helmets have been white with a red W.
Forever? Okay.
As far as I've ever seen, like in the 60s they were, in the 50s they were. I've never seen them with a red helmet. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but in looking through old pictures and everything, I don't remember them ever wearing anything but a white helmet or just a leather.
You got to remember, too, I played so much NCAA football on PS3 back in the day, and I probably just played Wisconsin with the – whenever I played with Wisconsin, I just used the alternate because I like that helmet. But, yes, so –
What I want Wisconsin football to do is get an alternate with like a red helmet with the Badger paw on it instead of the Motion W.
Awesome. Or just with the stencil W. I think a red helmet with a white stencil W would look super cool.
Yeah, or the old block W they used to have. But back to hockey.
Hockey.
The Badgers played, by the way, Penn State, number 6 in the country, but number 1 in scoring. The average was at 5.14 goals a game.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week. They're insane.
They're nearly a goal ahead of the next best team, getting 4.23, I believe, if I'm recalling correctly. That's a ridiculous score. That's a ridiculous number of games. They have got some incredible scoring. They have the best power play unit in the country. And the Badgers played them incredibly well this weekend. And you think this is going to be a moral victory story by how I said that. But they got a 3-3 tie on Friday night, went into the 5-on-5 overtime, which is then followed by a 3-on-3 overtime, which is some of the most exciting hockey you will ever watch because it's amazingly wide open. Not as much hitting, but everybody is going everywhere. They get down the ice very, very quickly.
There's no hitting in 3-on-3 hockey because you can't.
Yeah, how do you, you get close to somebody?
You can't commit to the hit, because if you commit to the hit, it's just as bad. It's almost as bad as getting hit, because you're already out, and there's only three dudes on the ice besides the goalie. It's wide open hockey. There's a reason why they did that.
Yeah, it's great to watch. So that game ended up having Penn State with 40 shots on goal, Wisconsin with 35, and it ended up going into shootout. And I think it went six shooters deep on the shootout before Penn State pulled ahead and got the win. You know, they got the win, but the Badgers get the tie. So they get the point. And that's very good in conference play. It helps them out a lot, keeps them going. But the game on Saturday night was one of the most exciting hockey games I've seen in quite a long, long time. Badgers give up an early goal. They then get a 3-1 lead. And then gave up four straight goals to go down 5-3. They gave up goal three to make it a 3-3 tie game was a power play goal. To go down 3-5, that was a power play goal. Those were the only two power plays that the Badgers gave up. They only had two penalties in that game. Penn State was 2-for-2 on the power play. But Wisconsin then came back. They came back at the end of the second and into the third period. They tied it up 5-5. I believe the tie, and you know, watching it, I was trying to make notes as I was going, but I think I got some of these mixed up. They tied it up. I believe Zimmer got the tying goal. But then Keandre Miller, I think it was Miller, or maybe it was Zimmer on the tying goal. One of the coolest shots you'll ever see, it's a cross-ice pass. Badgers got a good rush. They get a little odd man break down the ice. One of the Penn State players gets a stick on it as the puck is coming from left to right across the goalie's face. Just inside the dots, and it hops up into the air, and he grabs the puck out of the air with his left hand and places it down, left-handed shooter, places it down onto the ice, and then just snaps off a wrister high, glove side off the goalie there, and put it into the net, gives the Badgers the lead there. So I mean, great movement, didn't slow down, didn't stop, caught it, dropped it, shot it. All single move, wonderful, wonderful play. Baker gets them up 7-5 on a great push. There was basically just a giant fight over several rebounds given up by the Penn State goalie. Doogie had the first drive on the goalie. There were a couple different slaps and pushes up there, and then Baker put it in for a 7-5 lead. And then Tischke, who hasn't had a ton of scoring this year, Tischke gets the longest. Almost the longest shot you can have in hockey on the empty net. He was behind the Badger net.
Fantastic.
He was behind the red line there on the Badger net. Comes out just to the right of the net. He's still behind the line. Flips it down the ice for the 8-5 game. There was 2:51 at that left in the game at that point. Penn State pulled their goalie with 3:03 left in the game before they gave up that. So it was a 3-1 Badgers lead. Then to a 3-5 Badgers down, and then 8-5 Badgers win. They held Penn State to 25 shots on goal in that game and got 36 themselves. They had an incredible push on the net. They were getting bodies to the front of the net. They were playing off of rebounds. They were getting just puck on the goalie and had a really good game. This is the thing you have to remember about this Penn State team. Yeah, they got five goals. Penn State has four of the top 10 scorers in the nation. Evan Barrett, Alex Limogus, Liam Folks, and Nikita Polachev. All right, those are 1, 2, 6, and 9 in the country in scoring. Remember, not goal scoring, but scoring. Mm-hmm. So the Badgers now, after that, I mean, just incredible series of games against Penn State, who's a very, very good team. I mean, granted, at home, but a great game, great couple games. Remember, they had two games against Michigan. One they won in overtime, one they lost in overtime shootout, and they split with Michigan in two overtime games. So it was a 1-1 tie, 2-2 tie, 3-3 tie. We expected the 4-4 tie, but it was an 8-5 win. Badgers have played very well. They're getting better as the season has gone on. They are now 24th in the RPI,
mm-hmm.
and they're ranked 32nd. They have received a single vote for top 20.
Yay, one vote. I was just going to say that. That's what I was looking at. I haven't been on US. I'm sorry. I was just letting you get out all the facts and stuff. I've been on USCHO here, just looking through I haven't really taken a good look at the polls here in a little bit. And Penn State's at number 9.
Yeah, they dropped from this week, but there were 6 coming in the weekend.
It's Providence, Penn State, Quinnipiac. Ohio State in the top 10. I hate Ohio State.
And UMass.
Denver, Notre Dame. And then, of course, I'm going to stop reporting on UW Superior because it's so depressing. And I'm just going to start reporting on UMD Duluth because they're number 4. What used to be known as Minnesota State Mankato, now just meant Minnesota State, is 3, St. Cloud 2, and Massachusetts 1, which is,
I think it's the first time UMass has been number 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's the first time ever. And actually, this is like a referendum on the old WCHA. St. Cloud, Minnesota State, and Minnesota Duluth are 2, 3, and 4. Yeah. And it's like, and then Denver, was Denver part of that too?
They were WCHA, yeah. They still are, I believe. But yeah, the other fun point in this game is the Badgers down 3-5 pulled their goalie. They pulled out Liebendorf and brought in, Jacob Berry, put him in, and then won.
You got to, man.
So the Badgers are going to play Michigan State next weekend. They got games on Friday, Saturday, the 7th and 8th. Here's the other fun thing you got to look at when you're looking at this Badger team. They're in the second season of a new coach. They're top 10 scorers right now for the Badgers. 3 freshmen, 4 sophomores, a junior, and 2 seniors. Mm-hmm. This is a young team. We got Sean Doogie, Tarek Baker. They're both sophomores. Daniel Lebedev. He is a – or Lebedev, I think. I keep hearing how they were pronouncing it in the game. He's a freshman goalie.
Lebedev?
Yeah. That's some sort of Germanic name. He's a freshman, and the other goalie is a sophomore. Barry's a sophomore. But the freshman goalie, he's got a – 0.909 save percentage and a 2.75 goals against. This team is good, getting better, and figuring out a lot of things. They did get some good time from Johnson, Seamus Malone, our favorite, and Max Zimmer.
Seamus.
Yeah, that line did very well. They got a lot of good push from their senior and junior people on the team. But they got a lot of good young freshmen and sophomores. This team's going to get better and better as it goes. It's going to be year 2, and they should be really starting to compete. So that's
and for those of you just listening in for the first time, we don't subscribe really to the "it's a young team" concept, much like our friends over on the Minnesota side of the border. That's kind of some row the boat Minnesota Vikings Twins kind of talk. However, at this point, all of our teams are seem to be in that funk right now. We have never subscribed to the "our team is young" right now. It kind of sounds like what Minnesota's been saying for 20 years on all their teams, but it just so happens to be, because this is going to come up again when we talk about the Packers.
It's not so much as like an excuse. This is going fairly well. The Badger hockey team is very good. I mean, it's getting good. It's getting good. I think they'll be ranked top 25 again before the end of the year. And I think if they continue this with the RPI, if they get themselves somewhere around 16, they're going to be somebody they're going to talk about. I mean, I don't think they'll make the tournament this year, but maybe they make some noise in the Big Ten tournament. Maybe they can do something at the end of the year. But
yeah, and no doubt. I just want to throw that asterisk out there real quick.
I'm not excusing anybody to
cover our butts. Because I have some friends that are Minnesota fans that occasionally listen to this, that they're going to come after me about that. What's this about all this? You go after Fleck about row the boat, young team, freshman, and they're talking about your team's being young. And it's, sometimes it's actually real.
Well, and he does that as if the other teams aren't also young. Like, Illinois is young. Wisconsin actually is very young, like we talked about last week and all that, so.
Well, check out this fun fact that I heard this last week too on But I Know on KFAN. They brought up the fact that the last time the Gophers won a national championship in football in 1960, was it? They won the regular season poll, but then they proceeded to lose in the Rose Bowl, I think it was.
Really?
And so they didn't even win their bowl game, because back then the national champion was based on the regular season. And there's actually 4 teams claiming national championships off the 1960 season. And the Gophers finished that season 8-2, and the team they lost to in the bowl game and ended the season 10-1.
Yeah, so it's not like now where your season doesn't matter at all. It's just kind of what's your name, and we're going to keep ranking you that way regardless.
People arguing that Georgia needs to be in the playoffs. Anyways, I'm just glad there's not two SEC teams. Hey, so not to take away from UW Badger hockey, but we have another UW team here that is an undisputed number one team in the nation.
That's true. And it's not Superior somehow. No, yeah, UWSP.
Did you catch that part earlier when I said I'm going to start reporting on UMD because it's going to be more exciting?
It will, because they're very good. But UWSP stayed undefeated this
weekend. UW Sphere hasn't had a winning record in hockey since 2010-11.
It's okay. It's okay, Aaron. It's going to be okay. It's not your fault.
All right, go ahead. It's not your fault. Talk about your pointers.
So the UW Stevens Point Pointers.
It was real original on that naming of a team.
Are you done yet? So yeah,
sorry.
They stayed undefeated at 10-2. They won 3-1 against River Falls.
10-0-2.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. Yeah. You are correct. It is 10-0-2. They won 3-1 against the River Falls Falcons. Falcons got a very early goal, and then the Pointers hunkered down and took over from there. Very good win. They had a late night win there, and then had to get up next morning, get on a bus, and go to Superior. They said they got up. I was listening to the coach's show on this. He got up. They went to go watch film, got them a meal, and then got them on the bus, stopped in Eau Claire to eat, and then got them the rest of the way up, did their skate around, and went out there, and then beat UW Superior 4-0.
I have 2 points right there. First of all, UW River Falls should be called the Fallers, then, if they follow the nomenclature put forward by Stevens Point.
Or the River.
Second of all, if you ever looked at a map, why did you go through Eau Claire to get to Superior?
That's the way you go from Point. I'm going to let you know that.
They were playing in Point.
Yeah, they had a home game.
I thought you meant they were in River Falls. I figured they were playing 2 away games on a weekend. Sorry, never mind. Yes.
It would have been easier if they'd been in River Falls than just for those of you who don't know the state, hold up your hand somewhere up by where your pinky joint there is. That's River Falls.
Falls.
Go all the way up towards the very tip of your ring finger, and there you are.
Ring finger. Well, actually, if your pinky finger was as long as your ring finger, that's where Superior is.
Yeah, and if you put, right in the palm of your hand, right dead in the palm of your hand, that's Stevens Point. So.
In the stinkhole of Wisconsin, there's Stevens
Point. Oh, whatever, right in the heart. Right in the heart of it. This is also, to go along with the Wisconsin is very young right now, the top scorers for the Pointers are Luke McKelleny, Carter Rue, which is such a great name to say, and Colin Raver, and all of them are sophomores. Connor Rickman, the top goalie, is a freshman. He has a 9.35 save percentage and a 1.44 goals against. Next week, they will go take on Concordia and Lake Forest, both of those road games. That's what it was. In other news this weekend, Superior also played UW Stout from the city of Menominee. They had a 1-1 tie. And then Eau Claire and River Falls played up to a 2-2 tie. So right now, as the standings are, River Falls Stout and Superior are all 0-1-1 in the WIAC.
Yes.
Of them, only Stout has a 6-3-1 record. River Falls is 4-3-3, and Superior is 3-7-2.
Yep, the UW Superiors. The UW River Falls Fallers, the UW Stouters, and the UW Eau Claire Clarers.
Eau Claire are the Blue Devils. Stout are the...
Golds.
Blue Golds. Blue Devils are Stout, pardon me. Yeah. Blue Golds are Eau Claire. And when we were young, River Falls uniforms were exactly the old red and black Atlanta Falcons uniforms.
Fantastic.
Exactly the same.
I wish they were the UW Stevens Point Falcons. That'd be great. It makes no sense, but
just quickly to go through WIAC in women's hockey, River Falls is actually number 5 in the country. They are 8-1-0, 3-0-0 in the WIAC. Stevens Point is 1-1-1 in WIAC. They are 5-3-1 overall. They have a weird stat that they are actually 5-0-1 on the road, which means they are 0-3 at home. So Pointers don't like staying at home for the women's team. Eau Claire is number 10 in the country on the women's side. They are 5-2-1 overall, 1-1 in the WIAC. Superior is in the inferior position here. They are 0-3-1 in the conference, yes. 2-7-1 overall. So that's
what not, we're not looking to divulge like back to the men's side, but you see who's number 5 in the USCHO Division 3 men's poll?
It was in Eau Claire.
No, they were number 6.
Well, they
dropped. And so this always amazes me because back in my days at UW Superior, when I was on the radio on the college station there, and we'd broadcast the UW Superior games back in the heydays of the mid 2000s, that was in the infancy of the internet, and you know, you didn't have instant updates or anything like that. So I lived on usho.com back at the studio when they were calling games to wherever they were, either on the road or down the street at Westman. And I would have to update them during commercial breaks on what the scores were around the league, because internet was, you know, it was in its infancy. I mean, we're talking 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. And so they didn't have laptops there. They didn't have people updating them in real time. And so whenever I see a new university in the polls, it kind of, I mean, maybe they've been good for a while. I haven't been living on USCHO as much in the last 10 years. Number 5 is Salve Regina.
And indeed, Salve Regina.
S-S-S-A-L-V-E Regina, which I'm guessing is from Regina, Canada.
No, that's probably just a Catholic university. Salve Regina is a prayer.
Oh, well, thank you.
Salve Regina, Mater Misericordiae.
You would know that. Of course.
It's
you
often
would.
Said or sung at the end of night prayer, so.
And they're the Seahawks, so I automatically hate them.
Of course.
And they are from Newport, Rhode Island. You are correct. Yes, they are not from Regina, Canada. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Anyways.
And there we are. And that is our hockey talk, but we will stay with the UW school system here and talk about UW men's basketball, which made us all very, very happy this week, going 3-0 since we last broadcast, Aaron.
Yes, they did.
They took their part in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They beat NC State at home, 79-75. They were down 36-29 at half, came back and won. They shot 52.4% from three.
Yes, they did.
49.1% overall, but over 50% from three. Hap had 19 points, 11 boards and 3 assists, as well as 4 blocks. Trice had 18, 2, and 6. But the biggest thing, the thing that ESPN had to lead with the Badgers, was that Davison took 4 big charges, including what they are referring to, and this is the first time I've ever heard this term, the game-winning charge.
Huh. that'll be a stat now, just by the way.
At some point, the ESPN will measure all things, including like weight loss during games or something like that. I don't know. Davison did have 12 points, 2 rebounds, 2 boards, or 2 assists, pardon me. But yeah, he had great defense. And yeah, the last charge really did kind of put them in a place where they were going to win. And he was very, very excited climbing up off the floor on that one. It was fun to watch. The Badgers played 10 deep. 8 different players scored, 4 of them in double digits. The big thing that's frustrating here is in this week against NC State, the Badgers shot 60% from their free throws. On Friday against Iowa, they shot 71.4%. That's not the normal Badger team we grew up with, and they have not been as good a free throw shooting team as they used to be when,
right.
You know, there was a point where it was the Badgers will make more free throws than you take.
Right.
And they aren't that team. That's still the way they talk about the Badgers, but that's not the way the Badgers have been playing for the last probably 3-4 years now. Especially Hap. He's not a good free throw shooter.
Nope.
And that's hard. But then, like I said, Friday the Badgers played in Iowa City against who were then the number 14th ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. Hap went 13-7-5, but Trice came up huge. He had a 20-point game, as well as the big dagger three right towards the end of the game. Hit a giant three from the right side of the floor, coming off the dribble, put it up, put that home, and gave the Badgers a lead that they had the lead, but he put them up by enough that they weren't going to lose that one. It was the final play. Pritzel added 12 of his own. Badgers shot 48.2% from the floor, you know, a more normal 33% from three-point range. Right. The
big that was, and that was a meme of the weekend that I loved so much was it was the after they beat Iowa, it was the meme that said, nice little undefeated season you have going on there. Too bad if we had to give you your first loss. And that was the fourth team that was undefeated that the Badgers made non-undefeated this year.
Yeah, UW Athletics definitely tweeted that out. They said, like, yeah, hey, we got another undefeated team, and it's just like they had them all lined through.
Yep, striked like, out,
oh,
yep.
Never mind. Yeah, they agree. The other thing that's particularly fun for me, and I'm sure for many Badger fans around there, is Jordan Bohannon had 11 points on 3 of 12 shooting, 3 of 8 from 3, meaning he went 0 of 4 from not 3. Mm-hmm. He's Zach Bohannon's little brother. And Yeah, he had some things to say. Zach Bohannon's from Iowa, but Jordan Bohannon had some things to say last year when they beat Wisconsin. And it's nice to remind him that you're Iowa. Or as we should, I think we have to pronounce it, Awa.
Awa?
That's how Brian Bulaga pronounces it when he tells everybody every Sunday night game, that Brian Bulaga, Awa. So good. But yeah, it's good to beat the Hawkeyes. It's good to take them a road Big Ten game against a ranked, undefeated team and played a great game. Played all the way through, played just a wonderful game. And then tonight the Badgers took out Rutgers. I mean, you're thinking it's not so great, but they were 5-2 coming into this game, and not a terrible team. They're a decent team. They're not great, but that's one you definitely had to put away. So they beat them, and then they'll have forget what they got coming up next year. But yeah, they got through a good part of their schedule here. They're currently ranked 12th in the country, and got another great win here. So it's wonderful to see the Badgers continuing to play well, continuing to grow, and just yeah, it's nice having Trice back in this lineup. It changes this team so much. Having a guy
it's nice having the Badgers be back. Like last year was kind of a blip, and it's just nice having them back to being where they should have been. So, you know, it was a little bit of a transition moving from coach to coach, but it's nice having the Badgers back and having them being where they're supposed to be. And you know what, the Badgers, I'll take 12th in the nation. You know, the Badgers are never going to be Duke. They're never going to be Kentucky. They're never going to be some North Carolina. But the Badgers are always right around 10, and that's that.
They could be Gonzaga really type of team. You know, in there and maybe never win it. Go to a Final Four every, a couple times a decade maybe, or once a decade or whatever, and just be a good team that you do have to play hard to beat.
Right, and I mean, Barrero always talks about that on The Fan too. He's like, Minnesota people always talk. You know, when the Badgers lost to Duke in the final that one year, they Minnesota fans were just crushing Wisconsin. And his defense was, it'd be nice to just have a team that's relevant from year to year to year to year. You know, and it's, you know, and outside of, I mean, and we can go with this with the NFL too. And, you know, lots of people, and we'll talk about this more when we get into the McCarthy dirge later on here too, you know, having teams that win a lot of championships in a short amount of time, it doesn't happen. Like Duke's got a pretty good run going for it.
Yeah.
I mean, Calipari, he gets all the best players that all turn into the first, second and third round draft, or first, second and third picks in the first round. He's only got one national championship. And like last night, I'm watching the Pittsburgh Steelers play, and I'm thinking that he's got about the same timeline as McCarthy, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Help me.
Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin. You know, they're about the same timeline. McCarthy started a little bit before him. Tomlin's only got one Super Bowl championship, and then he lost to the Packers in another one.
Yeah.
It's everyone gets this like weird thing. Like it's like, You got to win championships and you know, because Alabama's won so many championships, and it's like, I'd rather just have a team that's relevant every year and lose with a like sweet 16 or an Elite Eight loss, you know, because you know what? It makes the season more fun. Ask the Baltimore Orioles fans of the world what it's like to have a POS team that is at the bottom of the barrel every year, you know. And I think that's half the reason why Packers fans are so jaded now. Like we're on the verge of two. I mean, we could still get away with a winning season this year. I doubt it, but we're on the verge of back-to-back losing seasons, and Packers fans of our generation don't know what that's like. Ask our parents what it's like to have back-to-back losing seasons as Packer fans. Oh. And so that's what with the Badgers, it's I'm just glad to have them back into relevancy again. And the Badgers are going to be great. The Badgers,
it's really only been a year away from relevance too. I mean, they were right. like a Sweet 16 team the year before.
Right, and I think it's going to be the same way with the football team next year, too. This is just going to be a blip on the radar
right.
in the long run. But, you know, back to the basketball team, I you knew they were going to be back here.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad it was that way. And to a point you were bringing back about earlier about the high – so some Army talk here, John. So when I'm on – so I'm a pretty good shot. Like, I'm – 39 now. I can't, well, we're both 39. We're 2 weeks apart in age. Can't jump anymore, but what I can do is I can shoot, and I can shoot free throws, and I can shoot three-pointers, and I wrestled in high school, so I, you know, but you don't wrestle in your spare time when you get out of high school anymore, so I, you know, like to shoot baskets a lot. And so whenever I'm TDY or something like that, or I was out in Utah one time playing some basketball, and then another time I was down at Fort Leonard Wood. About 2 years ago, I was down at PEC, Professional Education Center in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. North
and I was down there for a course, and we were playing some basketball, and I hit like four threes in a row, like coming down the court. And one of the guys looks right at me and goes, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from Wisconsin." "Oh yeah, Wisconsin guys. Wisconsin, all you do, you guys shoot three pointers. That's all you Wisconsin guys do." And I'm like, "Hey, I'll take that reputation all day long." I'll say Wisconsin and Golden State. Let's do it.
Peck is a dump, by the way. That's a terrible place.
No, it's not. But when was the last time you were there?
Right when we were deploying. There's a couple things there. There's a small little lake you can fish in if you have orders to be there. And there is a place to eat, but it closes as soon as training is done so that you can only go there while everyone's in class.
Right.
North Little Rock, though, is nice. The base itself is kind of a dump.
Well,
it's tiny and there's not much of anything to do there.
You also get full per diem when you're there. And if you drive yourself down there, then you have your own car.
Which is what I did. And I went there for hazmat training. But yeah, it was nice.
That's half the reason why you think it's a dump, because hazmat training sucks.
Yeah, well, there wasn't anything there. It's getting off a base is fine, because it's nice out there. Fair.
And there, it's in the heart of the Ozarks. It's a beautiful place, too. Camp Robinson's beautiful. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, the base itself is nothing to cheer about.
No.
But the lakefront in Little
car.
Rock... or the riverfront in Little Rock downtown.
It's really cool, yes.
Awesome!
Yeah, that's why you got to bring your car, because you don't want to be stuck on that post.
Right.
Anyhow, though, moving into other basketball in Wisconsin.
Raising expectations. Next thing we were talking about Peck.
I know. So, you know, raising expectations. The Bucks split this week. They had Chicago. They got a 116-113 win. Against the middling Bulls team. Actually, not middling. A terrible Bulls team. 5-17 Bulls team. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, Antetokounmpo had 36 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. Almost a triple-double.
Right.
Brogdon.
I actually have all this, and I can run it down real quick for you,
Brogdon pitched in 24, which is great to see.
Right. And Brogdon's 24 was on 6-6 from 3-point. Range 2-for-2 from free throws and 8-from-11 overall field goals. Middleton was 17-6-4. Connington off the bench 7-4-3. And Dellavedova did not play again.
We're shocked.
So
this podcast is shocked.
Jimmer Fredette. That's all I have to say. But yeah, so no, I mean, they put away the Bulls as well as they should have. I guess the more disappointing part is that a couple nights later out in New York, they lost in overtime to the Knicks.
And of course, the one thing to talk about is stepping over Giannis.
Right.
That's the one thing that everybody was taking away from that game is, oh, the disrespect. And he said he was going to hit him in the stand if he did it again. It's like, wow.
Right. So, I mean, it's just, I look back at, you know, and the Bucks have, besides Toronto, who's 20-4, and it's amazing. But, I mean, their record is – the Bucks have the best point differential in the entire NBA. They're plus 10.1 points per game. They average the league-leading 121.4 points per game and are giving up 111. I mean, they're 15-7, which would put them in the league – the lead in the West as well. I mean, Denver right now is on top of the West with the Clippers, and then it's OKC, Golden State – number four, and the Lakers have crawled out of the hole right now too. But I mean, so the Bucks aren't doing bad. I mean, it's just, but the teams that the Bucks are losing to, it's insane. Like I looked down the list here, they lost to of course the Knicks, and as we were discussing as we went to commercial break during last week's, they lost to the Charlotte Hornets, which they're number seven in the East, but they're 11-12. And then they lost to the Suns, of course, who are the worst team in basketball. They lost to the Clippers and the Grizzlies, which that's okay. I mean, I guess that was, you know, in the Trailblazers, Celtics, they lost to, you know, that's the teams that they lost to. But recently, the Suns, the Knicks, and the Hornets, those are not teams they should have lost to. I mean,
are you concerned? I mean, they're 4-5 on the road. I mean, it's you're going to have to play road games in the playoffs to do anything. So I don't know. I just wonder if that's something that's going to be an Achilles heel for this team or what's going on.
I would be concerned, but that would insinuate that Giannis doesn't like playing outside of Milwaukee, which means he likes Milwaukee, which means he's going to stay in Milwaukee.
Oh, who doesn't?
So, yeah, I'm going to go insecure Milwaukee fan on that one. But, yes, so.
Sorry about that.
But, I mean, it's – I'm not really. It's too early in the season. The Bucks are doing well. We should just enjoy it. I mean, except for the outlier that is the Toronto Raptors, they're doing great. And the Bucks have a home. I mean, it's the NBA. I mean, if you go down the East, Toronto Raptors, they're 20-4. They're 10-2 at home and 10-2 on the road. So that's equal. The Bucks are 11-2 at home and 4-5 on the road. Philadelphia, who's third, they're 17-8, so they've got three more games at hand. They're 13-1 at home and 4-7 on the road. So, and if you look at all throughout the NBA, all the winning teams are super successful at home, and then they're just on the road, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, Golden State 11-2 at home, 4-7 on the road.
At Toronto, they got 10 wins on each.
That's what I said. Toronto's the outlier.
Yeah,
They're 10-2 on both. But everybody else, I mean, if you look down to the West, too, in the standings, everybody's really – I mean, Golden State's fourth in the West. They're 11-2 at home, which is the best home record in all of basketball, but they stink on the road. So, I mean, it kind of is what it is. So we can't really look into the, you know, the Bucks being bad on the road. So right. The Bucks will be fine. It's early December. They're still looking good. Giannis is a beast. The only thing I worry about with Giannis is, like, if you look at his minutes game per game, I mean, he's 23 now. He can do this. Like, 40 minutes a game in an overtime game, that's fine. But it might wear on him after a while. But at the same time, he really lives up to the freak thing. I think the Bucks will be fine. And the Bucks are, like we say, week to week to week. They're still a year ahead of schedule, and they're still missing a piece. There's another superstar that will be on this team next year that they're going to sign during the offseason. I'm sure of it.
All right. That you heard it here first, everybody. Bucks are going to pull in the big superstar next year.
Well, not the big superstar, but a somewhat superstar. So.
All right. Way to temper yourself, Aaron.
They're not gonna pull in LeBron. They're not gonna pull in Kyrie. You know, they're not gonna pull in an A-lister, but they're gonna pull in a solid B-lister, you know, because they're gonna need to. I mean, Middleton and Bledsoe can only take you so far, and then Brogdon's pretty good. Lopez is really good at shooting threes for a center, but I mean, they're gonna need one more solid piece, and I think they're doing very well with what they have right now, and I'm not complaining at it. Lots of people like to complain about what the Bucks are doing right now. I listen to it on radio, and it's like, why are you complaining? Like, they're really good. They're one of the better teams at basketball. Enjoy it while it's here. It's only going to get better. And I still think, like, there's one key piece missing. Like, there's something else. There's got to be a better complementary piece to Giannis. Or perhaps it just evolves throughout the season. I mean, like we talked about, Bledsoe, everyone's a first-round draft pick in the NBA, blah, 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 whatever, except for Draymond Green. But, I mean, Bledsoe was supposed to be pretty big, and now maybe he'll live up to it. You know, I don't know. But right. I think that's in the offseason, something will shake out, and we'll get someone that's of relevance that has been in an all-star game that will go alongside and complement very well. The Bucks are doing a great job building this team. They
yes.
really are.
Yes, they
it's are. It, along with the new stadium and everything else. I think the Bucks with the branding and everything else. This is in the fear of the deer. they're doing a dang good job, and I applaud them. And I hope the season ends well. And I hope it ends with a series win, at least one series win in the playoffs, and I'll call it a win for the season.
Okay.
The end. Finn.
All right, and now we're going to end the part of the show where we talk about winning. And having a winning season. And Aaron, deep breaths now. Get yourself ready. Because here we're going to talk about the Packers. And a lot of the things that this week, just so many just weird kind of statistics and stuff coming
out. I didn't watch the game, John. I didn't watch the game.
So here's what I learned is, like, Chase Edmonds looks like the better running back in Arizona. He just beat us up. He came right at the Packers. He pushed around Martinez. He pushed around Matthews because Matthews didn't do anything. Matthews could get upfield, but all he could do is run past the quarterback in this game. Don't tell me he got pressures. He didn't. He was not getting after anybody. He runs upfield, but he doesn't have the ability to turn. He doesn't have the ability to turn the edge anymore. The best thing
Clay Matthews did this year was make the NFL get rid of the rule where you get penalized for hitting a quarterback in the waist when he hit
Cousins.
What's his name from Minnesota?
Yeah, Cousins.
Yeah, that guy. That's the best thing Clay Matthews did all year long.
Clay Matthews over-pursues. He takes shortcut routes getting around blocks. He's played terribly this year, and he's got to be done. He's just got to be done at this point. Chase Edmonds was just killing the Packers out there. He had both touchdowns against the Packers here. He had five.
He could be a not every down player. Yeah. I mean, he could be a third down rusher only.
Yeah, but he's five carries for 53 yards for that guy. Compared to 20.
Oh, sorry. I was going back to Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews?
I'm
I don't know, but
right
is he going to take
like,
that kind of money, though, is the problem. So, yeah.
That's the thing is he makes way too much money for it. I mean, like, yeah, he could be a third down rusher. He's not an every down player, and he hasn't been for three. Sorry, there was an expletive coming there. But 3 years, he hasn't been. Continue on about the Cardinals running back.
Well, and also the third most successful running back in the game for the Cardinals was Josh Rosen, who, of course, had a 33-yard run. And how you could explain that to me with this defense, with anybody out there, with anything going on, if this team cares at all about the season, how did Josh Rosen have a 33-yard run? By the way, two carries for 32 yards, meaning he had a negative 1 yard rush somewhere else. 33-yard run. It was the most awkward thing. I heard it described by Matub over at Acme Packing Company as he looks like a baby giraffe running. But he ran for a third of the football field, and it was ridiculous to watch. Christian Kirk looked pretty good out there. Jaire Alexander did all right. On coverage, we still got a little ways to go with getting Josh Jackson fully ready to be a serious number two or somebody out there who's going to make anybody afraid, because every team has two guys who can really play if they're worth anything out there in the wide receiver spot, and we need to get him up there, and you know hopefully he'll come up and grow and play better. Jake Kumerow came back, had one catch for 11 yards on two targets, and got way more of an applause than he should have gotten. Devontae Adams, it says 13 targets, but man, a lot of those were just sailed and gone. He couldn't get to. He had one legitimate drop that he should have had. He had a couple that were just nowhere near him. And then he had that great toe-tapping catch. Well, two of them. He had one in the end zone and then one on the sidelines on a play where Rodgers is just trying to make the play last and last. The thing that I'll say, though, is this time, Rodgers wasn't just running around out there. He spent more time trying to stay close to the pocket. He did a lot of movement, but that movement we were used to seeing where he takes the little move to just set up his blocker to get back in position for a good block rather than just taking off and going. So he played better that way. And actually, he took the dump pass when it was there. He had 4 completions to Jamal Williams, 4 completions to Aaron Jones. Cobb had some short stuff. He had some short ones to Jimmy Graham on crossing routes. He took what was there more than he usually does, and that was good. Our buddy Robert Tonyan had a 5-yard catch on one target. The fact that he had a lot more shorter passes, people are trying to make a big deal out of, like, well, Rodgers only had 233 yards passing on 50 attempts. Like, I don't care the yards or the attempts. He was completing them. He was 31 of 50. He's over 60%. He was doing all right. His rating was a 79.8, but that's because he had, you know, one touchdown and not a lot of yards per play. But, I mean, Josh Rosen won
the game. It was as if he was playing like his coach's job was on the line. Well, maybe I'll take these dump offs instead.
I don't know. Here's the thing.
I didn't see the game, and I have to qualify the reason why I didn't see the game. I didn't watch it out of spite. I was at drill this weekend. Yes, unlike John, I'm still in the military. I had military drill this weekend, and we had a leaders meeting from noon until 2, so I missed most of the game. And then once I saw the end, by the time I got home from drill, Mark McCarthy was already fired. So I decided to not go back and watch the DVR of it because I figured, what the hey?
The people who there was a guy, several guys here on Twitter who was like, oh, also Mason Crosby has to get fired. You're like, I can't stand that person.
No,
Mason Crosby has been very good this year. He had a bad game against Detroit. He had a very bad game against Detroit, where clearly something was very wrong, and they kept putting him back out there when we could all see there was something wrong with his shoe or something, and. Mm-hmm. He was back again the next week and kicking great. He missed a field goal the other day in a sloppy, wet, cold game. He missed a field goal. That wasn't what cost him the game. That wasn't what cost them the game. It wasn't his fault. Stop trying to fire people who are talented for having one failure.
Gaskowski, who's one of the most reliable kickers in NFL history, right behind Tucker, missed one against the Vikings in the late game on Sunday.
Yeah. And
because
Tucker,
it was raining.
Tucker missed an extra point that cost his team a game.
Right.
Do you fire him? No, that's terrible. No. I hate the call on firing kickers.
So who's the replacement then? And this gets me into the whole McCarthy thing.
Yes.
Who's your replacement? Who's the silver bullet then? Who's going to fix all this? You're going to fire Crosby. Then who do you go get? Oh, I'm sure there's some rookie on the street somewhere with no proven record that's going to do so much better. At least he's not going to miss a 49-yarder at the end of the game. Who's the kicker for what game was I watching yesterday?
I don't know, but I mean, like, the Vikings fired their kicker, and he's kicking well now somewhere else.
Oh, the Chargers!
Dan Bailey.
The Chargers are running out a rookie kicker who, by virtue of the Pittsburgh Steelers jumping offsides 3 plays in a row, got his kick shrunk from 46 yards to 29 yards whatever it was. Like, that, they don't trust their kicker. Like, I mean, is that what you want? I'd rather have Crosby and then have a game go, holy smokes, what the H happened there, than have, we're not going to run out our rookie kicker because I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I'm tired of that. And we talked beforehand, like, we're tired of there's no talent on this team. There's a lot of good young talent on this team. The receiving core has a bunch of good guys who are going to get a lot better. Mm-hmm. MVS looks good. EQ looks good. Maybe Jamon Moore gets better. Maybe Kumerow is a guy who can do something and be a number 4 guy in this league of value. I don't know that Cobb has a lot left, but Devontae is a top 5 wide receiver. He's killing it. The running backs look decent. I mean, Aaron Jones looks like he's really good. He didn't have a good game against Arizona. He got 2.8 a carry. Jamal Williams is a good second back. He's a good third down back. He catches well. He runs hard. He can get you a yard if you need it. I mean, he can go up the middle and do those things. He's not a breakaway speed, though. And, I mean, their offensive line is still good. They need to get a better right tackle or right guard to replace Bell, who is the one guy who gets beat all the time. He's just not doing anything. But Lindsley's good. Bulaga's been good. Bakhtiari's one of the top two or three left tackles in football.
He's 1A, 1B and yeah. for left tackles in the NFL. That's no question about it.
Yeah,
and he looks like Khal Drago, so you know that.
Yeah, it's
the dragons will descend from the sky at some point.
Yeah, we can only hope. Or the White Walkers, because it's Green Bay, I guess. But either
right,
way,
well, there's that too. But
either way,
so,
like,
I mean,
there's talent on this team. The defense isn't bad. We're missing Mike Daniels. Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark is as good 1-2 on the defensive line as there is in football. Martinez is a very good linebacker. I would like to see him get somebody better next to him than Morrison, who's a guy who we picked up at the end there. I would like to see a more serious second linebacker next to him.
No, Morrison's nice. I mean, Morrison's an okay. I mean, he'd be a good other outside linebacker, like if there was someone strong on the other side. Morrison's not bad. But the problem is that after you get outside of Daniels and Clark in the middle and Martinez at middle linebacker, it's the cupboard. That's where the cupboard's bare. Everyone's talking about how Aaron Rodgers had nothing to work with on the offensive side. The side's not the problem.
No. Well, it is because it's just not executed.
The side that's the problem is the defensive side. And all these years, I mean, it was Dayton Jones forever, and then it was Nick Perry, and Clay Matthews was very good at the beginning of his career, and he's kind of like Mike McCarthy in the fact that stuff that he did 8 years ago is still sustaining his career, and he really hasn't done anything in the last 5 years of note. We have safeties that were sitting on the couches 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
And Tremont Williams, bless his soul, is 3 years past his prime. I mean, and we've got good young talent, but it's between injuries and everything else, the defense just isn't there. I mean, Pleasant dropped an interception.
Yeah, that would have been a game-winning interception too.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's because he's not fresh, because he's not a starting caliber safety in the NFL. You know, it's and you point all these things together, and to advance conversation here, I'm not sure if you. I'm sorry, John. Do you want to talk about anything else, like logistically on the game?
I just think that
they need
another safety. And they need a pass edge rusher. Their edge rushers got old and kind of broken, and they left.
And everybody's so surprised that Bashaun Breeland's injured.
Well, he's played fine for.
That's the reason
years.
Why he was available, is because he was always injured.
Well, no, he was available because he injured himself walking on a beach and hadn't fully recovered yet. They
should say something.
Yeah, but he was a very good corner for a while before that. The other thing is like. We have Clay, who's just done. He just looks like he's done. He's guessing and he's gambling, and he doesn't have the athleticism to do that well enough anymore. Fackrell's nothing. I mean, he's got, what, 8 sacks? But, I mean, you don't count on him in an every game sort of situation. He's had 2 big games that have plussed up his numbers a lot. And, those games were great for him, but I just don't think he's that top edge rusher, and he's already at his prime. He's downhill from here. And we let Vince Beagle go, who, I mean, I don't think he was going to be a savior or anything like that, but why isn't Reggie Gilbert playing more? Why aren't we seeing what we have on some of these other edge rushers?
Who was I listening to the other day that was mentioning all the Packer defenders that we've let go in the last 10 years?
Well, on the defensive backfield, it's been a particularly hurtful.
It's ridiculous.
Like Hyde and Hayward and...
Yeah. Hayward was starting for the Chargers last night.
Yeah, he's a Pro Bowler.
As a Pro Bowler. And Micah Hyde, who went to the Bills.
Yep.
I mean, which that's kind of a doom and gloom situation if you ever go to the Bills. But still, at the same time, I mean, Tremont, we lost him for 2 years of his prime to the Browns. I mean, the inability to keep defensive players and... To a point that you brought up during the pre-show when we were talking, the best way to win in the NFL, except for the Chargers, who are doing it with Philip Rivers, and that was very impressive last night, by the way. And I've always loved Phil Rivers. But anyways, see the Rams and Chiefs
yeah.
get a young quarterback right out of college, first 5 years, and ride him and spend all the money everywhere else. And then after the fifth year, it's all going to go downhill from there. So
if they were brave and they were statistically minded, what they would do is they would draft a new quarterback every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what somebody would do, but nobody's got the bravery to do that because you can't.
Oh, it's coming.
In fact, somebody,
it's
no, because they're going to get fired because their teams are going to be unpopular and it's going to make people unhappy. Nobody's got the guts to do it. But that's what's going to have to happen. Like, that would be the next big innovation. It's
coming. I bet you the Rams are going to be the team that does it, too. I bet you the Rams are going to dump Jared Goff in 2 years.
You're going to have to tell your fan base, a fan base in L.A. that does not particularly care to watch football necessarily, that you're going to dump a player they know and a TV star at that point.
I bet you I can guarantee you because now statistics and everything else are starting to make it into football, too. Now, I wouldn't doubt if there's a team that trades their starting quarterback to a team for the first overall draft pick, so they have somebody on a rookie contract for 5 years. It's coming. Somebody's going to do it.
It's going to take a lot.
Maybe it's the Raiders. Maybe they do that with Derek Carr next year.
The NFL gets fired so quickly these days, too, though. I don't know that anybody's got the guts to try that, knowing that they'll probably get fired before they see it work.
Well, John Gruden might. That's why I said maybe it'll be the Raiders, because
yeah, I guess.
You might see it.
You need a guy with a very long leash. You need a guy with a very long leash who would be willing to try that.
Right.
Here's the conspiracy theory, of course, with the Packers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I love a good conspiracy theory. They're always fun and interesting. And sometimes right. there's some sort of truth to it, whether or not the rumor itself is any true. The rumors, of course, and the conspiracy theory is that Aaron Rodgers is tanking this season, and he did it to fire McCarthy.
Right.
And I don't know that I believe that. I think he's just – it looks like he's – and I've seen Twitter in a couple places say this. He's starting to look uncoachable. He's starting to look like old Favre.
Truth.
Where you can't tell him how to throw the football anymore. You can't tell him that – he's got to step into his throws. You can't tell him that he's got to run this offense. You can't tell him when he's going to call an audible or what play to run. And if that's true, then it doesn't matter what coach you bring in next.
It got Sherman fired.
Yeah. And here's
Favre got Sherman fired. They brought in McCarthy. McCarthy pretty much told him, I can't work with this guy. This rookie we got that from Cal, he's going to work out well. Me and him jive pretty well. And they got rid of Favre. And then McCarthy and Rodgers went on. And so now it's probably going to be the same thing. Next coach is going to come in. It's going to be, hey, look at this, the new hotshot coach from blah, 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 wherever. And it's going to be high octane offense. And they're going to go 0-3 and, or they'll go to the NFC Championship game and lose to the Giants at home when it's sub zero.
Wow.
And it'll be, no, wait, that was McCarthy. McCarthy lost that game.
Yeah, that was. Well, no, that
Sherman was already gone at that point. Sorry, yeah, but anyway, so you get my point. It's the same thing. It's going to happen that way, and then Rodgers will go to the Vikings.
No, because they got Cousins guaranteed for so long.
For 4 years, Minnesota would eat that salary cap hit to bring in Aaron Rodgers. You know they would.
I don't know that they can. Minnesota currently has $2 million of cap space.
They'd make room. They'd find a way. But anyways.
This is.
But back to the issue at hand. This whole firing thing of McCarthy. I'm taking the side of Tony Dungy, and you're taking the side of everybody else. I think they did McCarthy dirty. I don't like that he got fired in season. That's what you do with Hugh Jackson. Mike McCarthy is the second longest tenured coach in Green Bay Packer history behind Curly Lambeau. And that's it. That's it. Holmgren wasn't here this long. Lombardi wasn't here this long. Lindy Infante wasn't here this long. You know, it just.
Yeah.
I feel like they took him out back and they old yellered him, you know. And I do understand, like, it was a not to mince words with military things or whatnot, but it was a mercy killing. I get that. I really do. Like, they saved him from, you know, getting rid. I mean, his press conference yesterday was embarrassing at best, and they have been most of the season. Like, I've lost the team, and I really do understand that, and I get that. But I mean, the half the problem is, and then two, you're starting to see stories pop up like, was it McCarthy's play calling, or was it the fact that Aaron Rodgers is audibling on three quarters of all, he's audibling on 75% of all the plays? And yeah, maybe he lost. I mean, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. And then besides that too, listening to the press conference today too, with GM Goodart and President Mark Murphy, this whole weird structure thing where the coach reports to the president, not to the GM, that's kind of a weird thing too. And they were getting called out on that, and they were obviously getting angry that people were questioning that logic. And Mike McCarthy is, by getting fired, is now the top free agent coach in the league. And I'm guessing he's going to Cleveland with Dorsey. That's just my take.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I think he's a good coach. I think he's still a good coach. I think he's been a good coach. I think he's lost this team. I don't know what else he can do about that when he's lost his team
because he lost out to Aaron Rodgers, who is his buddy, who's his pal. And that's the worst part. And to call him a bad coach is a load of you know what I'm trying to say. But the one thing he did wrong was give Aaron Rodgers more freedom. And I think that's part of the problem, because now it's starting to come out a lot more that a lot of some of the bad calls that we saw down the line that made him look bad, now to take away clock management and all this other stuff. But I mean, this also feeds into it too, is that it maybe was Aaron Rodgers overriding this and, you know, just taking advantage of what turned from a coach player relationship into a friendship relationship. And that's it. And I mean, who's going to come into Green Bay and tell Aaron Rodgers what to do?
Yeah, that's the one concern I have is, you know, who are you going to find that's going to come in and tell Aaron what to do and take over that room? And I don't know who that is. I mean, is it McDaniel?
Brett Favre.
Is it right? That has been on Twitter far too often already.
I'm coming back to Green Bay to take over the team. Sorry, I don't have enough chew in my lip to make that sound real. Yeah.
He did coach a high school team a little bit, so I guess he can do it. Aaron, we are out of time, though.
Did we go way over again?
Little bit. We'll work on it in editing, though. So
you're just gonna cut out all the parts where I talk. I got it.
That's how this works. That's how this works. But anyhow, this is the Scotty Johnny podcast.
At Cheddar Talk.
And I'm, of course, at JBarn54. The show is at Scotty Johnny 1. You can also write us at ScottyJohnny@gmail.com. You can send us all your fan mail, your hate mail, your suggestions as to why you should be the coach of the Green Bay Packers next, all that fun stuff. Tell us the Madden playlist that you use that makes you better and smarter than the rest of us. All those wonderful things. And
well, here's a guy who uses a playlist.
Yeah. So remember, of course, that whether you are on the town or whether you are on the go, that it is always on Wisconsin.
Hey-oh!